I want to read a scripture, and then I want to return to the 15th chapter of St. John. I want to begin at the ending of where I intended to go last week, from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. There the apostle was talking about the suffering and the trials and the troubles that we experience. And I had told you last week about abiding in Christ and how important it is for us to abide in the true vine. And that Jesus gives us the life necessary for us to produce fruit. I gave you six specific passages of Scripture that say that these things are the fruit or the results of being saved. If you're really abiding in Christ, you'll produce at least those six things that are specifically said in the Bible. We also found in the 15th chapter of St. John, not only abiding in Christ produces fruit, but also that God is faithful in answering our prayers, and that we will give the Father glory. The fourth thing in the 15th chapter of St. John from abiding in Christ was the fullness of glory, or the fullness of joy. Now, what I've discovered is you cannot separate our Christian joy from the eternal glory. You just can't separate the joy of Jesus from the glory to come. I mean, even Jesus himself, it is said in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we have encompassed about us a great company of witnesses, or a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the Father. The joy of the eternal glory was set before the Lord. And we can go on, of course, and pick up in Philippians chapter 2, where he says that let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and be found in the fashion of man. He became obedient even to death, and the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. He looked forward to that day when he would one day receive again the glory that he once had with the Father. And that was his joy. The joy of glory. Now there's many passages of Scripture that talk about the fullness of glory. One day we will bask in the fullness of God's glory. God's presence, anytime God is present, we experience some degree or some dimension of His glory. When God was present in the Holy of Holies, there God's presence was referred to as the Shekinah glory, God's presence. The presence of God, anytime you're in the presence of God, you're also in the presence of His glory. Now Jesus has been highly exalted. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He has again the glory that he once had with the Father. That's what he prayed in the 17th chapter of St. John. Father, give me the glory that I once had with you from the very beginning. And he has that glory. He is highly exalted, given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus of things of the earth and heaven and under the earth and things under the earth, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen. Amen. Yes. And so in this verse, and there's many other verses like it, it talks about this abiding in the Lord. Now we learned a lot last week, and I need to read this verse because I didn't get to it last week, and I may not get to it this week if I don't read it, okay? So I'm going to read it hurriedly and maybe return to just a few things that we got to last week about abiding. But let me just say this, lest it slips my mind. I think my mind is slipping sometimes. I don't know if you feel that way as you get older. But listen, folks, all we need Jesus. And if we will abide in Him, the life of Christ will be in us, where we will live lives that are fruitful. Not only will we live lives that are fruitful, but we will be able to ask anything in the name of Jesus. We'll be in the center of God's will in such a way, and we'll be following His precepts, which He has spoken unto us, in such a way that we can ask anything in His name, and our prayers will be answered. Not only that, but our lives will glorify the Father. And we will experience the fullness of joy. All we need to do, you don't need a six-step program. You don't need to, you know, to go to some kind of seminary or seminar. All you need to do is abide in Jesus. The results of abiding in Him is what's missing from most Christians' lives and is missing from the church at large. Abiding in Jesus. Oh, the fullness of joy. I don't know when in my life I've seen so many sad Christians. The joy of the Lord is missing from their life. And you know, you can, it's like we talked about last week from the fifth chapter of Galatians, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit. I mean, you can take plastic fruit or the fruit of somebody else and try to put it on in your life. You can tie it to your branch. But listen, that won't do. That's not effective. You can try to love, 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 love and do joy, 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 joy. You know, all those things that are mentioned in the fifth chapter of Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit, these things will be an instant result of us abiding in Christ. Okay? They're automatic. The product of us abiding in Christ. The fruits of the Spirit. But I find so many people trying to do these things, you know, to make themselves into a Christian. And you can't make yourself into a Christian. Amen. You must be in Jesus to be a Christian. Amen? Yeah. Anyway, he says in this verse, verse 8, whom having not seen you love, wherein or in whom, though now ye see him not, ye believe. Now he's saying, look, we love him like we've seen him, but we've not seen him. We trust him like we've seen him, but we've not yet seen him. Now he's talking about seeing Jesus, but in a spiritual sense. Not with the natural eye. We've not seen him with the natural eye. But the way we love him and the way we trust him is equal to or better than seeing him. All right? We love him. We trust Jesus. We haven't seen him with our natural eyes. Oh, but we love him and see him as though we love him and trust him as though we have seen him. Are you with me? Amen. And in that place where we're at, okay, loving and trusting the Lord as though we have seen him, though we have not seen him, we experience a rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. All right? Now that's what he's talking about here. I mean, a joy that's unspeakable and full of the glory of God. What's missing from most people's Christian joy is the glory of God. And we've got to get the glory back before we can ever get the joy back. Jesus endured the cross and despised the shame. He had the glory of God that was set before him, and that was his joy. His joy. And so as we return back to the 15th chapter of the book of John. There he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit is purged. He purgeth it, that he may bring forth more fruit. We notice that there's fruit, there's more fruit, and then we're going to find much fruit. Much fruit gives glory to God. And listen, there are a lot of Judas branches that are really not abiding in Christ. At this particular time, when Jesus was preaching this message, Judas had gone to betray him. Listen, you need to make sure that you're abiding in Jesus. Amen. Abiding in Christ. True believers that abide in Jesus will bring forth fruit. Amen. There's no such thing as a fruitless believer in Jesus. There's no such thing. We believe that the Holy Ghost has so produced in our life through regeneration that we have an abiding relationship with the Lord, a persevering relationship with the Lord, where there's an attachment with the Lord, that when you really get saved and you really repent and you really believe, it cannot be severed. Those who have a superficial abiding versus a supernatural abiding. Listen, if you get saved, God's going to have to do it. Amen. And so he's talking about a difference between a superficial. There's a lot of superficial Christians, a superficial faith, superficial Christianity and abiding in Christ. And those that have a superficial faith, they're going to be cut off, their branches are going to be gathered, and they're going to be burned in the abyss. They're not really saved. Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, you can tell the difference between a true prophet and a false prophet and a true preacher versus a false preacher. He said, you'll know them by the fruit they bear. That's what he said. You'll know them by the fruit they bear. And Jesus also said, I think it was in the sermon, he said, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Everybody say every. Every good tree, every saved person brings forth good fruit. Okay? Anyway, so he's talking about abiding in Christ. He's talking about, he also says, everyone that abides in me, my Father prunes. If you're not bringing forth enough fruit, the Father will prune you. Listen, you need to be pruned rather than perishing. Amen. I'd rather receive the chastening of the Lord than the condemnation of the Lord. Amen. And so he prunes us. And I've experienced some of that in my life. And some of you may be going through that at this very hour. He says, now ye are clean through the word. And I mentioned this last week, that those that are true abiding in Christ, those that are true Christians, they've experienced a cleansing, a regeneration that has been brought about by the power of God. They've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's what John said in Revelation chapter 1. He talked about that we've been washed unto him who loved us and washed us in his own blood. Bible says the 144,000 and those, that great multitude that was later saw, how did they come through great tribulation? They had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We're talking about a cleansing. A cleansing. I'm thankful that when I got saved, I got a cleansing. The cleansing of my soul by the blood of Jesus. Anyway, so we talked a little about that. Abide in me, he says, and I in you. Just abide, he says. Just abide in me. Now we're going to talk about what that signifies and the blessings of abiding. I mean, we've already been discussing some of these things. But I'll read the rest of this. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Listen, folks, it is the life of Christ that enables us to bear fruit. There's the life of Christ. He's the vine. The nutrients and the strength, we receive them from the Lord. The ability, we don't produce fruit on our own. He says in these verses, you can do nothing without me. I must be in you and you must be in me, and I am the source of the fruit. Listen, God is the source of the fruit of a true believer. Now, there's a lot of manufactured fruit and a lot of plastic fruit out there. But listen, the true fruit of God is of God. He is the source of it. He produces it in the life of a believer. I'm going to pause here. And when you got cleansed, if there wasn't a new life, say this. When you when you got cleansed of your sins by the blood of Jesus, if there was not a new life that came into you that wasn't there before, you've never been saved. Spiritual life. So God is the source of fruit. We looked at some passages and some cross references in relationship to that. You're not the source of the fruit. Christ is the source of the fruit. We're merely the branches, amen? We're just branches, and we're supposed to abide in Christ, and God will bring the fruit. Okay? God brings the increase. One plants, another waters. God brings the increase. As I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in His love. Verse 10. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. All right. Joy comes. He makes it real clear in the previous verse. Joy comes as a result of an abiding fellowship with God. Okay? The joy that he's talking about here is the abiding fellowship that Jesus had with the Father in keeping the Father's commandments and abiding in the Father's love. An abiding relationship with the Father is the kind of joy that the context reveals to us this morning. Remember David in Psalms 115, verse 12? Remember what he prayed for? He prayed for purging and cleansing because of his sin. Listen, David was saved when he committed adultery. Amen? He was saved. But he lost the fellowship with God. He not only lost the... When you lose your fellowship with God, you'll also lose your joy. Do you remember what he prayed in verse 12? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Okay? He was wanting restored that fellowship, that relationship, because he had ceased to abide in God in the fullest sense. And when you cease, because of sin, to abide in God in the fullest sense, you will lose your joy. If you're saved. Listen, David didn't lose his salvation, but he lost his joy. He lost that fellowship and that relationship that he had with God because of his sins. And the only way he could ever get them restored was to repent of them, confess them, and have them cleaned up by the blood of the Lamb. He did just that. And when he got his sins under the blood, listen, folks, there are some of you have a cloud of condemnation or judgment over your life, and you'll never know or experience again the joy of God's salvation till you repent and confess and get those sins under the blood. Then and then only will you receive once again the joy of your salvation. Now, you can deceive yourself if you want to thinking that it'll just go away, or that it'll just, time will heal all things. You pull up all the different cliches and all the different systems of the world you want to try to implement into your life. But there's only one way to deal with sin, and it's the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus only cleanses those that repent. All right. The presence. I've got a couple of other verses, cross-references, I got to get to hurriedly. We're talking about seeing the Lord. I mean, Him abiding with us. Him being in our lives. You guys know about that? I'm talking about Christ being in us and us in Christ. Now, we've been talking about the glory. That you can't disconnect, okay, the glory from the joy. You just can't. He's with us now. We go into these chapters, and I don't have time to go through them. But Jesus said, I'm going to send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And He told the disciples, He says, when the Holy Ghost comes, I'll be with you. Now, I believe the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost, is equal to the Father and the Son. I really do. I may not be able to explain that. Just like Jesus was Jehovah God, the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Okay. I mean, you have the fullest of His presence with the Holy Ghost. I don't know how to explain that, but we do. All right? Now bear with me. All right, just hold on. Turn to Psalms 16 and 11. I don't know if you realize or not, this was the text used by Peter on the day of Pentecost where 3,000 got saved. It's got to be a good text for 3,000 get saved by using it, okay? But he says this, David says this. He says, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And previously in this 16th chapter, he talked about setting the Lord before him. In verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. In other words, the Lord is right here with me in everything that I'm doing. In His presence is the fullness of joy. Now, David, in this particular passage, saw Jesus. Jesus was with David. Okay? He saw Jesus. He saw Jesus crucified. He saw Jesus resurrected. Okay? I mean, that was the argument that Peter made on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 when he was preaching. He used this verse of Scripture and he says, though David is sitting over there in a grave, he saw this day where Jesus was crucified. He saw Him resurrected. Amen. He saw it. Wow. He saw it. All right, turn to Hebrews. I'm going to come back to this verse maybe in a minute. I love that sermon on the day of Pentecost. Yeah, I mean, he's telling those Jews, look, David saw it. This Jesus that was crucified and resurrected, he saw it. He saw Him in His glory, seated at the right hand of the Father. He saw it. Saw it. And David said, though, in that verse 8, I have set this before me in my life. It's in my life. And then he concludes, the presence of the Lord, His presence in my life because of the crucified Savior, because of the risen Savior, because of His eternal glory, Him seated at the right hand of the Father, I have the fullness of joy. And that was the joy he had restored in Psalms 51, verse 12, right? All right. He said, the Lord is with me. The Lord's Savior is with me. Shama is with me. The Lord is with me. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9. The Hebrew writer says, we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for everybody. We see Jesus. You know, in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts, Peter and John had healed the lame man. And they were just, the man was leaping and jumping and he was shouting and they were saying, how did you do this? They brought him in before the magistrates, the Jewish magistrates, the Sanhedrin rather. And they said, well, Jesus did that. It was through His name. Through Jesus. I don't know if you realize or not, but all the miracles that the church did in the first 30 years to accredit the church was the presence of Jesus and not the apostles. Amen. The presence. I mean, they're like, well, Jesus did that. All the healings, all the miracles the churches did, they were like, He was right here with us and He just did that. There's the way the Greek is in that one instance where they had perceived that these apostles had been with Jesus. One translation is they perceived that Jesus was with them. Jesus was with the early church. He said, "I'm tarry in Jerusalem. You're going to be endured with power from on high. I'm going to come back and be with you." He commissioned them as before he went away. And he said, "Go into all the world, teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And lo, I am what?" What did he say? Is he with the church? The Hebrew writer said, "We see." Now, he didn't see him naturally. He's talking metaphorically. He's talking about spiritually. He's talking about the eyes of faith. Where our eyes of faith, what was that psalm? Where our eyes of faith arrive, that our eyes may see your majesty. The faith, I'm talking about eyes of faith, by faith. By faith, we see things, don't we? By faith, we see the Lord. Faith is the eyes of the soul. Now, there's a power regarding faith that exceeds eyesight. The sense of being able to see. Faith is far superior to that. But it's compared to the sense of seeing. And, you know, when it talks about the act of looking on Jesus, people, if there's ever been a day we need to see Jesus, it's now. Not with our natural sight, but with our spiritual sight. Our spiritual sight. You will never be saved till you look to Jesus through faith. What was it that was referenced in Sunday school? If I be lifted up. What did Moses do? He lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. They looked and they lived. Do you realize there were a lot of folks that saw Jesus in the flesh but never believed? Do you realize there's a lot of people that looked at Jesus while he was being crucified? There were those that saw him in the flesh but did not get saved. So it's not talking about naturalized, it's talking about spiritual things. Through the eye of faith we can see. So the apostle was seeing with the spiritual eyes. You know, if there's ever been a day we need some spiritual eye salve, it's now. Where our eyes of our hearts would be opened. You know, faith is compared to sight. We see. We see. You remember what Jesus said about Abraham? On one occasion, he said, you know, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced and was glad. Did Abraham see Jesus? Sure he did. Did Moses see Jesus? Why, sure he did. By faith, they all saw Jesus that were saved. Okay? In Hebrews 11 and 27, it said, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him also who is invisible. He saw the invisible. But he saw. Faith is compared to sight. Are you with me? We see Jesus. By faith, we see Jesus. Jesus said, if two or three gather in my name, I am what? Is he with us? Is Jesus here? Do you guys realize that if we would just look at Jesus, if we would see Jesus, there wouldn't be this melancholy in the Christian churches. There wouldn't be this apathy in Christians' lives if they really had the presence of Christ with them. I mean, Jesus would look at them like he looked at Peter when Peter had denied him three times, and they would go out and weep bitterly over their sins. When you're in the presence of Jesus, man, you melt, don't you? You stay humble before God. We see Jesus, not with our natural eyes. Now, there's something I'm going to plug in here just for you Bible scholars. There's an eternal aspect of faith. You know, sight limits us to some degree, but there is an eternal aspect of faith that's kind of like sight, where we can kind of go there. By faith, we see and we go there. I mean, by faith, It's like I was there. It's as good as me being there. By faith, this world was framed by God. God created this world. There's a certainty associated about it in our faith. There's a certainty in our faith. I mean, my faith let me go back into the Garden of Eden. See how it was before man fell. My faith lets me see my first parents plunging this world into sin. Oh, well, I could go on and on and on. Listen, if the prophets in 1 Peter chapter 1, he goes on in the next couple of verses and he's talking about our faith. Let me turn over there. And he's talking about, he said this, he went on to the next verse, receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. So we have looking or seeing, not with our natural eyes, but with our spiritual eyes, loving like we've seen, trusting and believing like we've seen. There's a reality and a perception where we live out our lives like we have seen it. And he says, there's joy in this people full of glory. And he says, this is the result of eyes of faith. Eyes of faith. So there's a reality, there's a certainty, there's an infallibility. Infallibility. Do you really believe that Abraham saw the days of Christ? Do you really believe, like Peter preached, that David saw Jesus suffering on the cross, resurrected, and in His full glory at the throne of God? In that second chapter, he went on and said, Peter did when he was preaching, he said, David saw the Lord take the throne of David. That's what he said. The Lord, I saw the Lord Jesus take the throne of David. And Peter said, He's sitting over there. How did he see? David did not only see Jesus in His suffering, but he saw Him in His exalted glory. He said, how did David see all that when he was laying? He's laying right over there in the grave. How did he see all that? And Peter said, Jesus, this is what I'm preaching to you is what he saw. This is it right here. And they were pricked in the heart by that passage. Oh, what a proof text, huh? Listen, faith is, 11th chapter, verse 1 of Hebrews. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I know that the world was destroyed by a flood as good as I've been there when it happened. I know that Noah built a boat for the saving of his house, as though I had watched him nail the nails into the side of it. Pitch it wherever I built it. I see it. I have a familiarity. I have a connection. I see that great cloud of witnesses hanging out of heaven. I'm connected to the patriarchs of old. You know, Israel, time and time again. When it was brought up, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were enjoying the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because, as though they were there when the covenant was made. Yeah. Jesus made a point about that. I don't have time to get to it. All right. We see Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. It's not that we have seen Jesus or we will see Jesus. We see Him right now. You know, a few years ago, Mercy Me sung that song, I Can Only Imagine. You know, what it'll be like. I don't have to imagine. It's happened to me right here. Right here in this church, right here in this place. You know, folks coming among us are like, you know, and sometimes we get worried about our friends. We're like, man, if they come to our church and they see people shouting, or they see people down on the floor on their face, or they see people crying on the altar, you know, and just weeping and moaning and carrying on, it'll freak them out. What do you guys think went on when Jesus was here? Huh? What about those tears that woman shed to wash His feet? The same kind of tears to wash His feet have been shed right here on this altar. Blind Bartimaeus crying out, out, Jesus, 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 Son of David, deliver me. Those are the same cries we hear among us. Why? Because Jesus is here. We see Jesus. Are you with me? Huh? When Jesus was here, people would fall on the ground and cry out for mercy. It shouldn't surprise us that here at church, where Jesus is here, in our midst, that we don't have folks also on their faces in the floor down here. Amen. Amen. People crying out for mercy. Disciples crying out, you know, Lord, save us. He's in the hole of the boat. And you're having a hard time finding him here at church. You say, Lord, save us, lest my family perishes. Lord, save us, lest we perish. Trouble in your life. And you get down on your face and you call out to the Lord. And listen, it is the presence of the Lord that not only brings joy, but it brings deliverance. Deliverance, deliverance. We see Jesus. You know, these emotional outbursts, people, you know, make fun of us. People, you know, don't like them. Have you read your Bible? Huh? You talk about chaos. Haven't you read about some of these folks in the Bible when they were in the presence of the Lord? Do you think they sat on a pew with their feet together, their palms together? No! Read your Bible. When Jesus is present, it freaks people out. Okay? They crucified him, for goodness sakes. Ah, but there was shouting. There was rejoicing. Can you see him when he had that triumphant entry into Jerusalem, them laying down that palms and saying, Hosanna! Can you imagine that? I'm talking about the presence of Christ in our life. Where is he? That's the question. Where is he in the presence of your life? There have been times in our lives where, I mean, it was as good as being there. I mean, the night I got saved, my sins, it was like I was there at the cross. On Golgotha's hill, and I saw my sins laid upon the Savior. I mean, it was just as real as it was to his mother that stood at that summit and saw her son crucified. Jesus died for me. He died for me. Praise God. He died for me. And you know, I didn't have to go and visit the tomb. I know he lives. Amen. He lives. Listen, this thing's real. We see Jesus. I'm not talking about the natural aspects. I'm talking about the spiritual aspects of Jesus. We see Jesus. Listen, I'll tell you the reason you don't see is because you're blind. Jesus dealt with that several times. Used the prophet Isaiah as a proof text several times. He said the problem with folks not seeing these spiritual things is that they're blind. Blind. Spiritually blind. Oh, that today your eyes would be open. I believe Jesus is still walking among the candlesticks. Amen? And if there's ever been a time we needed him, it's now. Let's stand and sing. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, the joy of having his presence. Fullness of joy. Listen, I see the glory to come. Don't you see the glory to come? He's coming. Listen, it is such a reality to me. It's such a certainty to me. It's as good as done. The glory of the Lord, the destruction of this world, the second coming of Christ, seeing it couldn't convince me anymore. Amen. My faith has made it real. I mean, there's substance of things that I haven't seen yet. There's evidence in my soul. Listen, if you don't have evidence in your soul of these certainties and these realities, listen, you can perceive those things that are of glory to glory if you'll come to Jesus today. Let's sing. God bless you. Anybody here today lost and undone? Listen, hell will not become real to you until you have eyes of faith and you see the realities of the torments of damnation. Jesus wants to save you today. The Hebrew writer said the reason they were not delivered, the reason they did not have the ability to enter into the promised land is because it was not mixed with faith. You've heard about the judgment of God. You've heard about the You've heard about the great white throne, but you don't see it through the eyes of faith today, because if you did, you would fall on your face and you'd call upon His name. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, he said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He said, "I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to righteousness." He went on and said, going about to establish their own righteousness, they failed to submit to the righteousness of God, which is by faith. He said, now Moses preached this stuff about the law, and he said, people that live the law, they have to do it in order to live. In other words, in order to have eternal life by the law, you've got to keep all the law. But he said, Moses went on and talked about, righteousness by the law, but he also talked about righteousness which is by faith. And he said, he went on to describe the righteousness which is by faith. And he did it this way, and it's in Deuteronomy chapter 30, if I'm not mistaken. Paul, in the 10th chapter, was quoting Moses in Deuteronomy 30. He said, "Who shall bring him down from heaven?" And Paul said, he was talking about Jesus coming to this earth, the incarnation. The Lord Jesus being manifest in the flesh, the Word becoming flesh. I mean, that's what he's talking about. Moses saw that. And he said, "Who shall bring him up from the deep?" Paul said, "That's Jesus resurrected." Now he's talking about the preaching of Moses. And he says, "Look, you don't have to go to heaven and see Jesus come off His throne and come to the earth. You don't have to go to the barn in Bethlehem." Moses is preaching this. "You don't have to see Jesus dying on the cross and put in the tomb. You don't have to see Jesus resurrected. The Word is nigh thee. The Word of faith that we preach. If you confess the Lord Jesus Christ and believe with your heart, thou shalt be saved." And then what else did he say? He said, "With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made of salvation." Then he goes back and he uses another sermon from another preacher, from another text of the Old Testament of long ago. And he says, "The Scripture saith, whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed." We're talking about righteousness by faith. Okay. Then he gives them another verse. He says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." He says, "Hasn't the word gone out to Israel?" Yes, yes, yes. Isaiah said, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed?" Praise God. All through the Old Testament. Faith took them there. To the summit of Calvary, and they got saved. I believe that. And today, 2,000 years later, faith will take you back to Golgotha's tree, and faith in the Lamb of God will also save you. Let's sing another song. Ah, man, good. Isn't that good? The word of faith. It's nigh you, right here. You don't have to go to heaven. You don't have to go to Calvary. You don't have to go to Israel. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. The word is nigh thee. It's right here. The gospel of Jesus Christ will take you there. And then you'll see. With the eyes of faith. Are y'all with me? Man, it's good. I'm sorry. Just saying. I'm sorry. Oh, man, that's good. Sing a song, Aaron. Maybe there's somebody else that needs to pray. We're talking about visions of rapture. Grander beyond your wildest dreams. May your faith arise to where your sight might see His majesty. Amen. May your faith arise where your sight might see His majesty. May your faith arise that you might see His majesty. And you'll say, holy, 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 like Isaiah did when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. Amen. And I'll tell you what, you see Jesus, you'll be a lot like those folks that saw Him when He was here in the flesh. And you'll fall on your knees and say, my Lord and my God. Right? Isn't that what they did? Amen. That's what they did. Listen, this is what happened. In the life of Christ, while He was on earth, He was a moving church. Everything that happened around Him was like what would happen in church till He comes again. Because He said, I'll always be in the midst. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even the end of the world. And we still see Jesus walking around the golden candlesticks in the midst of His church. Amen. I believe Jesus is here. I feel Him here. And man, if you get a glimpse of Him, you'll shake off that foolish pride. Yeah, you will. Yeah, there'll be a humbleness and a brokenness before the Lord. Yeah, if you see the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in His presence is the fullness of joy. Joy in the presence of the Lord. Oh, man. Do you want the Lord to show up this week? Do you want to sense His presence? You know, there's been times that I've heard preaching that it felt like I was just like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus learning. I mean, it was as though I was right there. like she was sitting at the feet of Jesus, you know, learning. I saw Jesus. The teaching was having such an impact in my life. It was as good as the words of Jesus Himself. May faith take us there in the name of the Lord. When asked, Fanny Crosby said, well, she was asked, wouldn't you like to have had your natural sight? One of our greatest hymn writers of all time who was naturally blind. And she said, no, one of the greatest blessings of my life is not being able to see with my natural eyes. Because I can't see with my natural eyes, I see with my spiritual eyes a lot better than everybody else. Or that's a paraphrase, or better than most folks is what she was saying. And if you've ever sang any of her songs, and we have over and over again, haven't we? yeah. You know, she had the eyes of faith. I hope you have those too. The eyes of faith. We see Jesus.